Thank you for that. We extend Christian greetings to each one. And thinking what to speak on today, I thought I would speak on the kingdom of heaven. If you remember, the last time I shared a message here, it was a Christmas message, the Christmas story. And I mentioned there about there were 400 silent years in which the people did not hear a word from the Lord. And then John the Baptist came on the scene. And John the Baptist, when he came to preach, his message was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Later, when Jesus was here, and he had chosen his 12 disciples, it says that there were 70 others that he sent out to go and visit all the villages where he had in mind to go to. And he told them, and you can read this, in Luke chapter 10, in verse 9. It says there that when Jesus sent out the 70 others, he told them to say, "The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." So a question I would like to ask you this morning, if someone asked you to describe the kingdom of heaven, how would you answer that? How would you describe it? The kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the King of heaven. Jesus described it. I would like to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Start reading in verse 44. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." Jesus here was describing how valuable the kingdom of heaven, to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, how much value that should have to us. So if someone asks you to describe the kingdom of heaven, have you found it? How precious to you is it? Would you be willing to give everything that you have, own, and possess to be a part of that? In Matthew chapter 16, Peter told Jesus that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church. So the church is the kingdom of heaven. Again in Acts chapter 2, when the early church was being established, in verse 47 it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And so the church, where Jesus Christ is the head, that is a part of the kingdom of heaven on earth. So another question that I would ask you to think about, is there anything on this earth that God values more highly than his church? Anything. His church is made up of born-again believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ and confessed him as Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the church, is there anything that has more value? So do you esteem the church? Do we esteem the church as we should? It is the bride of Christ. You know, in marriage relationships, you know, there is nothing a man should value in that marriage more than his bride. We are called to love our wives, and it is a replica of Christ in the church, a type. The church is like the apple in God's eye. His most valuable possession on the earth. Now, I'd like to ask another question. Can a person or anyone become a part of the kingdom of heaven in heaven without first becoming a part of the kingdom of heaven here on earth? I do not read of anything like that. In order to be a part of the kingdom of heaven in heaven, we first need to be a part of the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. It has to do with choices we make. Does being a part of the church make you a part of the kingdom of heaven? It's another question. If you have church membership and you're a part of the church, does that automatically make you a part of the kingdom of heaven? The answer to that is no. I would like to continue reading here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 50. It says, here again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Just being a part of the church is not going to make you a part of the kingdom of heaven. And the important thing has to do with how you get there. How you become a member of the church and how you get there is very important. I would like now to read in John chapter 10. We'll read verses 1 through 15. And as we go through this and the rest of the message, all of the message for that matter, don't just listen to what I say. It's very important that you allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. He knows the needs that you have way better than I do. And allow him to minister to you and speak to you through the word that is shared here. John chapter 10, verse 1, and remember, how we get into the church is very important. The key is here. Start reading in verse 1. Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now listen to this part very carefully as Jesus explains what he was saying. He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And then in verse 9 he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. We can see here that it is very important how we come, and that we come in through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. Excuse me. The church is likened to a body, and I'd like to, for you to think about that just a little bit. The church is likened to a human body. When a part of the body is missing, it does not function as well as it does when all the parts are there. The church has many functions and parts. You know, here we had reorganization the other evening. People were put in different places of being teacher and different functions of the church. You know, the teachers that were here this morning, if nobody would have been here to attend class, how would they make out? How easy is it for us sometimes to say we're too busy or we're too involved in other things we have going on to attend church functions, and we put people in to do different jobs. You know, how would you feel if you came and sat at the table to eat and your teeth were missing? Or you would come to the table to eat and your hands were missing. Part of you wasn't there. Could you eat without your hands? Yeah, you probably could, but it'd be very unhandy. If you're sitting at the table to eat and all of a sudden you think of something else you need to eat with the food that you have there, needed to go get something and your feet were missing. You see, very quickly your body becomes crippled and not able to function properly when certain parts are missing. And so it is when we are too busy or too involved in our own things that we have a tendency to get busy with and be involved in when certain functions of the church are going on, and we are too busy or too involved with other things to go and to attend. You know, when there are things going on in the church, and we think that, you know, they can get it without me. I don't have to be there. It's sometimes easy to go down that thought line, and then, you know, the event happens and goes on, and we're not there. But we could have at least given emotional support by being there and being a part of it and just show our support. There's so much that we can do. When I got that text this morning about a brother that said he was praying for me, that gave me emotional support. And God knew that I needed that. And I know that that brother was not the only one that was praying for me. I know there were others as well. I have a dear wife at home who did not suit to be here today. She's caring for her mom. And she's praying for me as well. And I'm so blessed with that. You know, talking about eating and all, there was also an account, and we won't turn to it, but there is an account that when Jesus was sitting by a well, the account of the Samaritan woman coming to him. And the disciples had gone to town to buy food. And they came back and they wanted him to eat. And Jesus said, I have other food that you know not of. And I'm not sure if it is in that account or if it is in a different account where he says that his food is to do the will of the Father. And there are many things that Jesus said that are kind of given in types, parables, if you will. And if you think of how crippled you are when certain parts of your body are missing, when you want to do something and you need them, with those thoughts in your minds, I would like for us to turn to Matthew chapter 22. And I would like to read verse 1 through 14. Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and other to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You see here, the kingdom of heaven is likened to, and he said here about a feast being prepared. And there's another account in a different of the gospel that also gives this story in very similar format. And it talks about, I've married a wife and I can't come. You know, I bought some oxen, I want to go try them and I can't come. And I'm inclined to think, you know, sometimes when we have church functions or the church, somebody in the church has a certain position and they have a work to do or a job to do. And I look at all the work that I wanted to do on my farm at home, or what the things I've got going on, and well, I'm just too busy. And I'm wondering if this is referring to that. Because the kingdom of heaven is the church. The church is the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the church has different functions, and we're all called to serve in different categories and in those functions. And I think we do good to check our value system and measure it up. How does it measure up with God's value system? And I am not here to point my finger at anyone in the things that I'm saying here, but merely I think I've probably got as much of a problem in my house as anybody does with this. And I think those are areas where we can grow in. Areas where we can grow in. It also says here that those who he had first invited, I think there's a lesson here. It was a lesson here to the Jews, and the Gentiles were invited. And the Gentiles were long looked down. I'm made to think of the account of the woman that asked Jesus to cast a demon out of her, was it her daughter or her son? And Jesus referred to her as dogs, the Gentiles. And she said, even the dogs will eat crumbs from under the master's table. And, you know, this thing of being into the kingdom and being accepted, you know, into God's kingdom, this thing being handed to the Gentiles, that was really something. Because before it was the Jews were the elite. And the law was given to the Jews, and they were entrusted with this, with the law. And the Jews did not do a good job in being caretakers of that. They added so much to it. But because of the Jews' rejection, it opened the door for the Gentiles. We are so blessed in the creation, and this is maybe something just a little bit different. I really appreciate you your attention today. But in God's creation, we have experienced wind, we've experienced storms. I'd like for everybody to stand up and look out the windows for just a brief moment. Looks kind of beautiful out there. Nice big flakes. Okay, you may be seated. It's not every day we get to see a snow like that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you with thankful hearts. We thank you for blessing us in many ways you have. We thank you, Father, for instituting your church. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of that. And Father, we thank you for Jesus, who was willing to come and live here and die for us and shedding his blood that we can apply it to our lives, Father, and be born again. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and the work that he does in guiding us. Father, we just pray for each one that is here. We pray you would plant within our hearts a love for your word, a love for your spirit. And we just pray that you would guide and direct each one of us in our day here and in going forward in our Christian lives. Help us to be true and faithful in what you call us to do. We pray this in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. You know, in normal fashion, I would turn the time over to Brother Ralph or Brother Mike, but they're not here today, so I would like to turn it over to the church. And I would like to just invite anyone here, brothers or sisters, if you have anything you would like to add to the message, anything that you've been blessed with, now is your time to share. Word of testimony or anything you would like to add to the message. Thank you for that. We do good to meditate on those things. Very true. Anyone else? Thank you, Brother Lavelle. Thank you. Anyone else? If not, we'll close with that. And let's turn our songbooks to song number 951. And Brother